It's a new month, February the 1st, 2018. Thank you to those of you who joined me daily in January. We learned a lot about God from the Bible, didn't we? I'd love it if you took a few moments out of your busy day and wrote me a quick email just to share with me some of the things you've learned in the month of January. It doesn't have to be long. Just send along some bullet points if you'd like. I'll give you my email address now and that it will be repeated as the broadcast wraps up in a little bit. Mark@markaswallow.com. Let me spell that for you. mark@markaswallow.com. You can also send along questions you have. Different points of view and disagreement are also welcome. Don't delay. Write to me today. Okay, yesterday, we continued to learn the incredible meaning behind this title that John the Baptist gave Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verses 29 and 36, the Lamb of God. And what we are doing is moving together across the landscape of Scripture, the Bible's Old and New Testaments, to learn about the rich meaning of the Lamb, L-A-M-B, Lamb. We're following another sound theologian here, A.W. Pink, as he writes about the Lamb in Scripture being typified, prophesied, applied, personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. We've already covered the meaning of typified and prophesied, and today we come to applied. And this is really striking. If you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for any length of time, say, longer than 6 months to a year, I certainly hope that someone more mature than you in Christ has introduced you to Exodus chapter 12 and the Jewish Passover. If not, you'll need more time to understand the entirety of this chapter and of the significance of Passover than I can give to you in one day. This is why I really want to encourage all of you Christians listening to me to be growing Christians. Please be in churches and learn from pastors and lay leaders. Attend Bible studies where people who understand the Word of God are sharing what they know with you. Ask questions. Read the Bible for yourself. Develop an insatiable appetite for Scripture. Seek understanding. Pray and ask God for Him to give it, and He will give it. I hope that our time together here on God Is will also be a solid resource for you. But it is likely that our time here is not enough. You need more. Still, let me highlight for you the key points in Exodus 12 as it relates to the Lamb. Here's the background. The Israelites, God's people, have been serving as slaves to the Egyptian Pharaoh in Egypt, and God, who is going to set his people free, summons Moses and his brother Aaron and commands them to go see the Pharaoh. They are to report the word of the Lord. Let my people go so that they may serve me. Each time that Pharaoh refuses, God sends a plague on the Egyptians. At the point we pick up the story in Exodus 12, there have been 9 plagues. Water is turned to blood. Then there is an outbreak of frogs over the land, followed by gnats and flies. Then the livestock are deceased through disease. The 6th plague is really bad if you ask me. It's boils. That's right, Exodus 9 and verse 10 says, boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. Imagine that. Pharaoh is still hardened and will not let God's people go, so down comes hail. Then the land is swarmed with locusts. The 9th plague is darkness, thick black darkness for 3 whole days. And that brings us to the 10th and final plague, the death of the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, including the firstborn son of the Pharaoh. Even the firstborn sons of Egyptian cattle were killed. God is serious. Now, how will the Israelites be protected from having their own firstborn killed in this plague that will get God's people out of Egypt? The answer to that is in the blood of the Lamb. In Exodus 12, God instructs Moses and Aaron to speak to his people. Let me pick up here by reading in Exodus 12 and verse 3. On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Did you hear that? A lamb for each household. Now verse 5. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. Notice again, unblemished. God seeks a perfect lamb. Any small defect means that lamb cannot be used. I continue reading in Exodus 12 and verse 6. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. This may seem like a simple sentence, but think about this. Twilight was 3 p.m. in the afternoon for these Jews, and God is specific that he wants the lambs to be killed by all of Israel at the same time. Did you know Jesus Christ died at 3 p.m., twilight, on his cross? There is a clear reference to Jesus Christ tucked into Exodus, only the second book of the entire Bible. Exodus 12 is all about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It is right here in Exodus. God commands these lambs to be killed at twilight, and God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, is killed precisely at twilight. My, how powerful this is. Now we come in verse 7 to the key. This is Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. God commands them to take some of the blood of the lamb and paint it on the two doorposts and then on the lintel, which is just the beam above the open doorway. You know, the space between the two doorposts above one's head. This is what God wants every household of the Israelites to do. But why? This seems odd. I am reading now down in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel of the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Ah, now we see why. When God is striking down the firstborn of the Egyptians in this tenth and final plague, he will pass over the homes. He will not kill the firstborn in the homes where there is the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintel. Hence the name Passover and the Passover lamb. God also said this in verses 12 to 13 of Exodus 12 as well. You can read it there. Just to finish our summary of the true story, this is exactly what happened. God followed through on his pledge and did kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. But the blood of the Passover lamb saved the lives of the Israelites, God's people. Please do read the whole of Exodus 12 on your own. But remember, while we're reading it today, our theologian friend A.W. Pink is calling this the Lamb Applied. And what he means is this: the blood of that unblemished, perfect Passover lamb saved their lives. The blood applied to the doorpost and lintel was life-saving. Well, the New Testament makes this connection. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. His blood shed during his death on the cross is what saves our lives. Not blood from an animal lamb on doorposts and lintels of homes, but blood from the Lamb of God splattered on the wooden cross and applied to our souls. Not only is this what John the Baptist said, as we well know by now, but listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Let me read that again. Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Listen also to the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. With precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Peter connects the lamb animal of Exodus 12 and its blood to the blood of Christ. And again, notice the emphasis on unblemished and spotless. Perfection. Peter is talking about absolute perfection, just like Jesus. Jesus is perfect. So both Paul and Peter support the testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Isn't it remarkable how the entire testimony of Scripture, all that's written in the Bible, fits so well together? And do you see why I am making such a big deal out of John the Baptist's testimony? Oh, we must, because Jesus himself needs to be made a big deal of. The Lamb is a theme that runs straight throughout Scripture. This week, we've seen the meaning of the Lamb in Genesis 4, in Genesis 22, and now in Exodus 12. And we're not done. When you come back tomorrow, I'm going to finish the seven ways we see the Lamb in Scripture. I'll do the last four in one day. They are: the Lamb is personified, identified, magnified, and glorified. Doesn't that sound like an exciting way to end the week together? Well, I sure think so. Today was too quick a look at Exodus and Passover. There's so much more. For example, Jesus was crucified during when? During when the Jews celebrated Passover. But I'm satisfied that a good introduction has been given, and at least if you are not aware of the strong ties between Jesus and the Passover lamb before, you certainly are aware of them now. So I'll sleep well on that tonight. You too. Enjoy the remainder of your day, and let's meet back here tomorrow, for God is...